to each one. Turn in your Bibles to Romans, the 7th chapter. Just going to go through this chapter a little bit, just some of the thoughts and ponderings of my mind over the last month or so. And probably have some questions as well that we can think about and as we go through here. Let's read Romans chapter 7. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then if, while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law has said, Thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment, which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid, but sin, that might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that, when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. When we read these words, sometimes it's kind of confusing as we go down through. Apostle Paul goes back and forth between the law and sin and our flesh. He talks of being dead to the flesh and to the law, but then he talks of still listening to it. I guess I don't claim to have the answers or an authority on this chapter. These are just kind of some of the musings and thoughts of my study and reading through this. The second part of this chapter in my Bible calls it the Christian struggle. I guess I'm not sure if that's the correct or the best title that should be given this section. I'm not necessarily doubting that whoever put it together, but I'm wondering if the title should maybe be called The Life of a Person Trying to Live the Christian Life in the Flesh, or trying to live on your own power versus living in the power of God. He starts out explaining in the beginning how we're dead to the law, just how as a woman would be married, and if the husband dies, she's free to live, to marry another man. Only then is that allowed. Before then, while that person is living, she'd be an adulteress. And so likewise, the law, when Christ came, he died and we died with him, and we died unto that law. When Christ came and died, we turned to Him, and our carnal nature, our flesh, dies to the law, and it's not bound by the law any longer to follow its demands, but we're then bound by the Spirit of God to serve in the newness of the Spirit. So the question is then, if we are dead to the law, was it bad or was it evil? No, I think it was just incomplete or not perfect. It brought us to Christ because we wouldn't have even known sin if we didn't have the law to show us what sin was. Most of the Christian world today would look at verses like this, especially the second part of this chapter, and they would just wipe the law away and they would say they can live and do however they jolly well please because they're dead to the law and they're alive in the Spirit. So there's nothing binding them to any kind of law. But Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 18, that not one dot of the pen, not one jot or tittle. A tittle is just one dot or one stroke of the pen. None of that will fail until heaven and earth pass away. The problem I think we have is we can justify sin, or the Christian world in general justifies sin, by saying we're not bound to the law any longer. That's not the case. If we fall back into sin, the law is alive again. And it brings us back saying we are in sin. When we walk in the Spirit, we become above the law. The law is like the beginning. When you're converted and you come to Christ, you become accountable. The law would be the beginning, and you go on from there. You can't go below the law any longer. Paul goes on in the last part of the chapter. He calls the law spiritual. It's holy, just, and good. Look at verse 14. He says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." So if we've died to the law in our flesh, why does Paul keep coming back and saying, you know, he is carnal and sold under sin? He says he doesn't even understand his own actions, as the Amplified reads. He doesn't accomplish what he wants, but the very thing he loathes, he ends up doing. Look at verse number 17. I'm going to read verses 17 to 21 in the Amplified. "However, it is no longer I who do the deed, but the sin principle, which is at home in me and has possession of me. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I can't perform it. I have the intention and urge to do what is right, but no power to carry it out. For I fail to practice the good deeds I desire to do, but the evil deeds that I do not desire to do are what I am ever doing. Now if I do what I do not desire to do, it is no longer I doing it, but the sin principle which dwells in me and fixed and operating in my soul. So I find it to be a law, a rule of action of my being, that when I want to do what is right and good, evil is ever present with me, and I am subject to his insistent demands." When I read these verses, it almost can give the impression that, well, we tried, sin took over, and it's kind of an unfortunate situation, and we'll just keep plodding on. But verse 22 says, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man." There's another law warring against the law of his mind and bringing him back into captivity to the law of sin, which is in his members. He gets to the end, towards the end of this section, and he says, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" I think the problem is you can read down through these verses, and so many people do, and they can justify just about anything. You can justify living in sin. You can just shrug off failure and say, "I can't help it. It's sin that dwells in me. I'm not actually the one doing it. It's sin, and I'm in the Spirit, life in the Spirit, but the sin is just, you know, keeps coming back." So I guess kind of the main question as I read down through these, is this the normal, real Christian life? Or why did Paul write this? Or what did he want to bring out or imply to us by writing this? And that's why I struggled a little bit with the title. It says The Christian Struggle. I just don't think Paul intended it to be this kind of a message to say you can justify anything. Obviously, in life, we have struggles and trials. Sometimes we fall down and we have to get back up again. And we have the flesh that Paul talks about. He's mentioning here, I don't think we're ever going to get to the place of being 100% perfect, as Buddhists would claim to get to the state of nirvana. But I think that's heaven. That's not on earth. But yet, I can't see living in the level of never being able to do good, the good that we know we should do, and always doing what is carnal and sold in sin. I think this chapter is showing us, or Paul's trying to show us here, what happens when we try to live the Christian life in our own strength and in our own flesh. I think it's an example of just trying as hard as you possibly can, but not letting the Lord control our lives and His Spirit rule what we do and what we don't do. Romans chapter 6 says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid." So he obviously doesn't go from that in chapter 6 to coming into chapter 7 saying, "Forget the law, do whatever you want. It's just sin that's doing it." It would be a contradiction. He says in the last verse of this chapter, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." And I think if we pull out a verse or two, or even a group of verses as this is, you can get an answer or do just about whatever you want out of the Scriptures, but we need to take a more of a complete look at his message to the church in Rome and get a clear picture of it. I would propose that Paul expects the Christian life to be like Romans chapter 8. He says in verse 8 of Romans chapter 8, "So they then that are in the flesh cannot please God." In verse 13 he says, "For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." I think the struggle is a little different than what we're looking at here. He's talking about the struggle between the carnal and spiritual nature. But last week in the singing, we sang a song that comes out of 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. It says, "If my people, who are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land." We're called by His name. Maybe the problem is us, and that we don't humble ourselves and pray. I just pray that we don't settle for a Romans 7 experience and just live like a lot of the Christian world would live. But we'd keep on going and read chapter 8, and we would just follow the Lord and mortify the deeds of the flesh through His Spirit. Just a couple thoughts I had going through there, and just pray it can be a blessing to each one.